No, my next victim on the programme is Isabel Rogers, chair of the Donegal Hospice Ward. Isabel, thanks so much for calling in.
Good morning, Greg, and thanks for having me.
I do find it amazing that...
nerve-wracking,
but... Aye, but people come in and, you know, it's not something I'd be too keen on doing, so I genuinely appreciate it. And why not? Because we're going to be touching on a couple of really positive things. We'll start with news that planning permission has been approved for the Donegal Hospice Extension and Refurbishment Project. You know, this is a key part of the process, of course, to get the planning over the line.
Yeah, it's a big thing. It's a big thing to get the planning over the line, and we got it on Friday, Greg. And the people of Donegal, they own the Donegal Hospice, and it's a great thing for them, you know, and all the fundraising and everything that goes into it. But anyway, it's great because people will be able to avail of the service. Unfortunately, the ones in the future will be able to avail of it, you know, and. It's going to be the state-of-the-art building, and we're going to have additional rooms to accommodate physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and education facilities as well. The extension is actually a two-storey building.
Mm-hmm.
So upstairs will be all conference rooms and that education, to educate, yeah, you know, for hold education sessions, which we never probably had there before. It was always in a hotel or whatever. So, as well as doing the new extension, we're going to be running alongside with an upgrade of the existing building, because it is 21 years old, and the rooms have to be upgraded to HICWA standard. And also we're going to be doing upgrading of the heating, the insulation, and new windows, and upgrading the bedrooms.
Brilliant. So it'll make the whole building will be more energy efficient.
It means it'll be it will be lovely to have the whole thing done.
And isn't it nice to be talking about, you know, the expansion and growth of such an important thing? Because often when we talk about services and what have you, it has to be sort of in a negative light to try and prompt improvement, or it's about fighting for retention. Yet here, such a valuable thing, commodity, I don't know what you would describe it, service, but that kind of makes it very clinical, and it's not. You see, that's why I'm struggling with that word, that we're talking about its growth and its expansion and what extra it'll be able to provide. It's nice to be in that position, isn't it? And we'll get onto it in a bit, but that's down to the drive of yourself and your team, but the people of the county as well.
They're
shoulder to the wheel as well. It couldn't be done without their help.
Like, I'm 35 years with the hospice, and we've always fundraised. We fundraised for this build that we're in at the moment, and now we're fundraising. We fundraised for the new build. What it means, having this new build, it will decrease the waiting time to get into it, and it will also provide more beds for respite for patients with COPD, motor neuron, multiple sclerosis, and other life-limiting conditions. We closed daycare before COVID, or during COVID, sorry, and we're opening that back up again as well, which means the patients out in the community can come in. I think it's one day a week we'll be starting off with, and they can come in and meet the medical team and get, you know, assessed again and get therapies, aromatherapy, etc.
Wow, fantastic. Now, obviously, dates and times can slip, so we're not, like, pinning you to, what is it, the pin of your collar? We're not putting you to the pin of your collar. But when is it hoped now that planning permission has been approved, that work might be able to begin?
I don't know when work will begin, but it will take 18 months from it starts to it finish. We hope it will, you know, without any hitches, it'll take 18 months.
Yeah.
And, so basically, it'll go now to tender.
Brilliant. Oh, of course, that process has to be gone
that
through.
That process has to be done,
of course.
So
and
we'll go to...
Any disruption will be kept to an absolute minimum. So just to run through, the proposed development includes the construction of four new apartments. The new additional apartments will accommodate patients and their families, offering support and compassionate environment during their time at the hospice. Additional rooms... as you heard Isabel mention there, physiotherapy, occupational therapy and social work, as well as training and educational facilities, which is a great advancement as well. And of course, it's about enhancing and modernising the existing building as well and bringing it up to the highest standards. And, you know, this is a big milestone. Do you know, in the history of sort of something like the hospice, you know, you start with it being established, and then there's another one. And this is going to be a big one in its history, isn't it?
Yeah, we started off with home care, Greg, and there was just one nurse to do with the home care. And then we kept the home care going, and then we decided then to build the building that we're in now. And it's open 21 years now, just in coming up in March. And then, but we still have our seven clinical nurse specialists in the community. Mm-hmm. We still keep the home care service going. And, you know, as well as doing this new build, we still have to keep the funds going for that. And we still look after the children, night nursing, children with life-limiting conditions for night nursing and day nursing. Mm-hmm. And we've done that for the past 15 years. So we still need to keep all our services running, if you know what I mean.
Which means there needs to be sort of a continuing fundraising drive.
We're always going to be fundraising.
Yeah, exactly. And people do their own things and what have you. And an important part of that runs through June. That's Jive for June.
Now,
it's heading into its third year now.
Yes.
Year one was unbelievable.
Year one was 55.
You mentioned a figure.
Year two was 120.
And year three?
202,000.
I mean, this is remarkable, the generosity of people, isn't it?
Yeah. In fairness, I do start torturing everybody in January, you know, making them aware of it and all that. But you know something, even to do with the new build, the people of Donegal are so generous to Donegal Hospice. We go out there, Greg, we don't have to ask people. They're coming forward to you. But it's not even the people of Donegal. It's the people of Ireland, and it's the people that's abroad. They haven't forgot the roots. Yeah. They haven't forgot Donegal Hospice. Mm-hmm. You know, like if there's a family member in with us and they pass away or even in for respite, the people are so good to us. They never forget us.
But that's a testament to the experience that people have.
That's right.
You know, because you talked a little earlier on, and I saw the language you used about talking about the future. And I think you sort of says, unfortunately, and I'm not pulling you up on that, but the experience is it's the experience is a mix of emotions.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's at a really difficult time in people's lives and the person's lives, but also time and time again you hear that it makes that very, and I've said these exact words in this show before, it makes that very difficult time more manageable, either in the moment or after the fact as well. And you know, so I think it's a great thing that we all have to die, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some of us, we'll need the care of the Donegal Hospice, and it's just good that it's there.
Yeah, and the respite.
And the respite
fact that,
as well,
you know, for the other life-limiting
conditions.
And all
the other stuff that it does, the night nursing, it's a remarkable thing. It's a remarkable thing for the people you care for and their families.
Yeah.
So, Jive for June. I remember the first one. It's like, wow, 55? Amazing. Then circa 125. Then over 200 in the third
202,000,
year.
202,000,
which is absolutely unbelievable. And so now plans are, well, knowing you.
Well, I haven't spoke to Fionnuala yet.
Nah, don't worry about Fionnuala. We'll sort Fionnuala out. You don't worry about her.
I haven't spoke to her yet or
so
David.
We're launching kind of, I love this. So you're kind of semi-soft launching Jive for June. We kind of haven't really run it past Fionnuala and David yet.
No.
Perfect. That's what I love. Let's see them back out of it
not
now.
Not really. But anyway, I did talk to David after last year.
Yeah.
But now you're just looking at their nice wee bit of line dancing and all that. And the thing, they'll be there.
That song's going to
feature.
No, you know.
I just want to thank Highland Radio for all their help and support in the past and hopefully in the future. And also, I want to thank every person that gives a euro to the hospice. I want to thank them because it's so much appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't be there only for the public.
And it's the
public.
Checks. You know what I noticed, Isabel, and we only often see maybe a fraction of it. It's just the wee things that are run all year round and the big checks, and it's like 1,300 or 5,200 or... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's all of the time. Yeah. I mean, obviously you have the sort of the big fundraisers, but it's all the little ones.
That's
and
right.
I say little, it's not really little, the huge in their own right, but it's the collective and it's just people doing their own thing for their own reasons. Yeah. But it's all down to the positive sentiment towards the Donegal Hospice.
Yeah, and even with the Jive for June, the children, some children do trampolines. they can't jive, so they do trampolines.
And well, then some of the elves can't jive, but anyway, they still try.
The teachers come on board then, and they do a wee jive at the schools and all before they split up for the summer or whatever. And it's brilliant to get them involved.
Okay, so is there any info you can give about Jive to June yet, or are we just marking people's
calendars? No, we're just marking
calendars
the calendar
to say
there.
It's coming in
June.
Yeah,
it's coming
involved.
In June. There is some big fundraisers being held alongside it for it.
Bro.
And that's the normal thing. It wouldn't be as big as it is, Greg, with just jiving.
Of course not,
And people are very shy about doing their jive and coming on board with it and, putting it up on Facebook or whatever, but it's just all a bit of fun.
And even if it just inspires them to do something that they're more comfortable with, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as it'll be in, it just means June's a big month as well.
Yeah, but it's just such a big year for us. Like, to get that planning through is brilliant, and it's just going to be so good for Donegal Hospice and so good for the service to Donegal people.
Okay. Yeah, indeed. The tendering process is out there now, and there's some brilliant companies locally that I'm sure will have their pitch in and what have you. Okay. Isabel, it's always a pleasure to have you in.
Thank you so much, Greg.
We look forward to chatting to you between now and June, of course, but just to mark people's calendars. I've no doubt Beyonce's new song is going to feature in June heavily, as many others will as well. But for now, Isabel Rogers, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you,
Isabel,
Greg.
Is chair of the Donegal Hospice, and we're marking the great news that planning permission has been approved for the Donegal Hospice extension, and really quite importantly, the refurbishment. So the entire build, the older part and the newer part, will be up to the highest standards, of course, for care and comfort of patients and their families.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Joined on the show now by Dr. Gail Cummins, Department of Nursing and Healthcare at the ATU Donegal, and Ms. Mary Dunyon, Department of Nursing and Healthcare at ATU Donegal as well. Both of you, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Greg, and thanks very much for having us. It's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great to be able to speak to you. Right, so we're speaking about some advice and tests for farmers. We're going to come up to that. But am I correct in saying that's part of End to Tour Week, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, running from the 26th of February to the 1st of March? Gail, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, so we were absolutely delighted to receive news just before Christmas to say that we had been successful in winning funding to run two N-Tutor events on campus this week as part of the National Week. So these are being run by the Department of Nursing and Healthcare at ATU Donegal. And the first event, which is running today, is our Research Festival event. And as we speak, we have four expert guest lecturers in delivering workshops on all things research, from qualitative and quantitative data analysis to writing a lit review to intro to research methods and processes. So we've those four workshops going on in the afternoon. Then we have a research competition where anyone who is registered with the departments of nursing right across the three campuses, should I say, whether it's ATU Donegal, ATU Mayo, or ATU St Angela's, can enter a competition, and they will pitch to the panel of judges about ideas on how to meet the challenges that we're presented with in nursing and healthcare at the moment from a research perspective. And then in the afternoon, we'll have our prize giving, and that'll be followed by guest speakers. So Dr. Louise McBride, who's our head of department, and her team will talk about the iSWAP, the Student Mental Health and Wellbeing Programme. And that'll be followed by Dr. Mick McCann, who's going to talk about research and in nursing and healthcare right across our campuses. So fantastic lineup for everyone. And I suppose the thing that's so special about today is that, as I mentioned, we have representatives from the three departments of nursing in ATU. So we've representatives from ATU Mayo down with us. A coach load of students just arrived there about half an hour ago. We have representatives from ATU St Angela's as well. So we're delighted. It's very special to have that opportunity.
And that first event is for students, really, and people associated with ATU.
That's right. Yeah, but we've left it open. Anyone could have registered for the link. So it's primarily about research in nursing and healthcare, and that's running today. And it's we're very thankful to N-Tutor. And for anyone that doesn't know what N-Tutor is, it's, I suppose, a national programme which is run in the technological sector to really promote the student learning experience, you know, to transform it. And it's also about staff development too. So that's our first event that's running today. Yeah. It's running until 5:30 for anyone who'd like to come in and join us. You're more than welcome. And then the second event, we are heading out. Mary and I are heading out.
We'll get to that in a moment though. I just want to recognise, if that's okay, the importance of sort of research as part of health. And we do quite a lot of that in this area as well. I'm thinking of stuff that I'm aware of, and there's much more in terms of breast cancer. But there's also other studies that Letterkenny University Hospital has been very involved in terms of patients' pathway. And I know maybe I'm not an expert in this area, but it's all part of healthcare, but not necessarily what we as the general population would see as part of it. So I imagine, you know, it's critical that we have the creative juices flowing with the next crop of medical professionals to focus on all elements of healthcare.
Absolutely. And I suppose right from when the student comes in on day one, you know, we as lecturers, we talk about the importance of research in healthcare. We talk about the importance of evidence-based practice, and we practice what we preach because the Department of Nursing actually has a very strong, you know, research track record in terms of the student mental health and well-being and so on. And we have the Masters in Advance in Health and Social Care and the Masters in Therapeutic Interventions for Alcohol and Other Drugs. So there's a lot of research that goes on. So it's really important to have days like today where we actually get to celebrate HU's, the Department of Nurses, you know, strong research track record. And as you said, an opportunity to sit down over a cup of coffee and talk about what's next on the agenda in terms of research and development.
Yeah, for sure. And for the students, some of the people you've got speaking, they're heroes, if you know what I mean, from a career perspective. Now, the second event we're talking about, which I cut you off as you were just flowing into it, is reaching out to farmers really with health advice and tests, primarily probably fellas. And we do know, and I'm not going to get shot for saying this because we were speaking to an amazing lady a little earlier on who went through a diagnostic process, and it's her determination and drive that hopefully is going to lead to a perfect outcome for her. But I think sometimes maybe fellas are not as good at checking on themselves and their health, and certainly even if they have their suspicions, then not progressing that or taking that to the next level for a myriad of reasons. Mostly we invent them, if the truth be told, to avoid it. Mary, do you want to talk about this initiative that's upcoming?
Yes, thanks, Greg. I suppose I agree with what you're saying. I think farmers are great at looking after their animals and looking after the land. But, you know, when it comes to themselves, they're really not as good. And the research does show that. You're talking about the research and Gales there saying about studies. And like there was a recent study done and was saying over 50% of the farming population that were researched had high blood pressure. And like 1 in 5 of us are going to have a stroke. So like it's great to get the opportunity now on Thursday to go out to Reform Mart and to be able to. We're going to do 3 different tests. We're going to do a blood pressure, we're going to record the heart rate, and we're going to record the BMI, which is your body mass index, and looking at, you know, your height and your weight and seeing if you're sort of within the normal levels or not. And, you know, for most people who have high blood pressure, unfortunately, there's no signs and symptoms, Greg. You know, the first sign that you might have is that you've had a stroke. So if you're lucky, you'll have a headache or you'll have maybe a nosebleed or you might feel dizzy or unwell. But for many people, there is just no signs and symptoms. So it is one of the modifiable diseases that we can manage.
You know? Well, that's it, isn't it? Because again, it kind of goes back to that research word. There's very, you know, there's not as many as we'd hope of things that can, you know, really have a strong impact on our health, but we actually can really quite successfully manage.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what we're hoping to do on Thursday, is just to do the wee check. Like there's no needles, there's no nothing involved. Because I know men don't like needles, a lot of them, and women.
We don't mind shoving our hands up a cow, but don't come near us with a needle. Do you know what I mean? You try to figure that one out.
So it's just checking blood pressure, as I say, and checking heart rate. So we're going to use the manual method because we want to pick up any arrhythmias or any irregularities, because again, that's another big cause of stroke, is if you have an irregular heartbeat and maybe atrial fibrillation. So even by checking someone's pulse and checking the blood pressure and doing it the old-fashioned way rather than using the machine, you're able to pick up if there is any sort of abnormalities in that there. So yeah, we'll be giving a wee bit of advice then. So as you say, it's one of the things that we can do something about. So if it's really high, we'll hold on to you, we'll check it again, and then we can refer you maybe on then to your GP, give you advice just about. And you know, everything is linked, you know, between your blood pressure, your diet, your stress levels. And as farmers, you know, we do know it's a stressful environment, and it's, you know, they're under a lot of pressure. There's long hours, you know, it's not Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So there is a lot of pressures there, but it is really important. I mean, the guidelines say that once you're over 40, that you really should have your blood pressure checked even yearly. You know, even under that, they say, and the Irish Heart Foundation say every 5 years from 18 up to that. But then once you come to 40, even yearly, do you know, so this is free. It's you know, it's a great opportunity for people to get their blood. If you're in around Rafoe and thirsty, come down to us in Rafoe Mart and get your blood pressure checked.
Yeah, we need a couple of brave souls to show the way to here, because we don't want it to be like, you know, you just have a 10 foot no go zone around you as you walk around the place. So we need a few brave souls, and you know, and I know myself as some, and the reason I feel comfortable to speak about it is I'm still not fully there yet, but I am someone that would spend an awful lot of time of thinking of reasons not to go and get something as simple as blood pressure checked, right? But at the end of the day, these things are incredibly manageable. And if you know, as you say, well, not as you say, but you know, these are people that are carers. They care for their animals. They're very proud of that as well. But you know, if you're driving your tractor to and from a field or what have you, and it just wasn't running quite right, you would get it to the mechanic and get it checked out, and they would work their wonders, and then you'd have you know, the summer of happy driving. Why not do the same for yourself, really effectively?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it. And we often would say to our students, you know, it's like, if you can, it's prevention, really. It's not the cure. You know, prevention's far easier. So we teach a program here in the college, and it's making every contact count. So it's every time we talk to people or patients, it's just trying to get that message across, and just to try to prevent something from happening. Because as we know, like heart, you know, whether it's, you know, and I suppose the effects of high blood pressure is you can have a heart attack, you can have a stroke, you can have eye disease, kidney disease. So if you can stop that from happening, do you know, and people are living longer, and that's what it's all about. It's about healthy aging, and especially when people are working for themselves, that they can work longer as well.
Exactly.
And it's devastating. I mean, we've looked after so many people, you know, from the hospital, and our students that are coming out with us, they've had experience of that as well. And it's just life changing when they have either a heart attack or they have a stroke. And you're right in what you're saying, Greg. Like, we've done this before. Like, we've been over at the different marts, and we're actually doing an event down in the Courtyard Shopping Centre now in April as well. And people are afraid to come. They say, oh, I don't want to know. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but they said, well, this is what I would have done. Yeah, but I've been walking around all day, so of course my blood pressure is going to be high and my pulse is going to be up. You know, so I mean, this is not, but that they've no intention of relaxing and sitting down and going to the GP the next day. That's just an excuse not to do it there and then. Right, listen, I know you're very busy with everything that's going on today, the event that is today, but you are in the Mart in Rafoe with some health advice and some tests promoting the importance of health and well-being of farmers too. And you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Dunyan, but you know, there's an aggregate effect as well too, with walking around with high blood pressure for quite some time. The sooner you get it under control, the better, because obviously, you know, you want your heart to last as long as is possible. So that presumably means having it operating within, you know, acceptable boundaries for longer. That's better for you effectively. So the sooner you get on top of something, the better.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying, Greg, before there. Like, it's, they used to always say hypertension was like the silent killer, because you didn't, there was no signs and symptoms. So if you're walking around for maybe 5-10 years, hadn't had your blood pressure checked, your arteries and your wee capillaries and the wee blood vessels and the kidneys and then the eyes, I mean, they can be great. And obviously then your heart as well, those bigger blood vessels, like, they can be badly damaged, you know. So that's what, it's just early intervention, and it's all about prevention and the sort a healthy agent.
All right, lads and lassies, Thursday the 29th of February, three nursing students will provide a range of those checks that we've mentioned for farmers at the Mart in Rafoe. Anything you want to add, Dr. Gail Cummings, before I wrap up?
Yeah, no, I just want to thank all of our nursing students from across the three programmes here in ATU Donegal, general nursing, mental health nursing and intellectual disability nursing. And we actually have 20 nursing students from year three across those three programmes who actually have given their time. They've volunteered to do this with Mary and I. So thank you to all those students. And we will stand out. You will see us a mile off because we have fabulous orange tops on the day. So there'll be... no worries about not finding where we are.
So you're really getting rid of all the excuses, aren't you? Sorry. Dr. Gail Cummings, Department of Nursing and Healthcare at ATU, from the same department, Ms. Mary Dunyan. Both of you, thank you so very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's been lovely having you on the programme. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, ATU.
We were speaking to, I thought it was a really quite an important conversation with Marie in the second hour of the show, just before 11 o'clock, about her experience of... having an issue with her left breast, and she went to the hospital. Really remarkable story. And she had three tests on the day, was told everything looked good. A week later, she was told that had been issues with testing her tissue sample, but that they had enough tissue to retest it and that everything was okay. So she went home. And something wasn't right. She went back to her GP. The GP said, look, you should always get a second opinion. And she went to Galway. She had to go private. And as it turned out, she did have breast cancer in her left breast and also an issue in her right breast, which wouldn't have been, neither would have been discovered if she hadn't have gone forward and trusted her gut. Now, you'd hope that that's a very rare experience, but unfortunately, quite a few of you seem to be able to identify with her. As does this listener. I can identify with Marie, had tests, scans and a biopsy done to be told it was okay, then to be contacted afterwards to be told I had stage 4 cancer. It's hard to have any confidence in them, says the caller. What a brave lady. I wish her all the best for the future. God bless indeed. We join you in those sentiments. Rosemary on Facebook, I feel sorry for that lady who was on about being misdiagnosed with cancer or not diagnosed. As I'm going through that now between Sligo and Galway hospitals, I have cancer again, but they can't find out where it is. And I have had CT scans and an MRI scan and biopsies. The problem might be, says the listener, that she is full of radiotherapy that she received 12 years ago for cancer. My mum spent her last 5 weeks at the hospice last July. She was so happy there. Isabel was so helpful, and those nurses are human angels. It's an unreal place. Councillor Kevin Bradley, the Mayor of Letterkenny, has been on to wish the hospice all the best with their building plans. Isabel and their team are doing a fantastic job. Back to Marie. Fair play to Marie for sharing her story. It's terrible what happened to her. The least any woman deserves is to get the right results. It's a long enough journey. And I'm jumping between the hospice and Marie's story. I'm delighted to hear that the hospice got their planning and hope that all Donegal gets behind them to fundraise. That comes in from Rose. And Rose, yes, continues to. The generosity of the Donegal public towards the hospice is unmatched. Now, I want to mention to you that Ours to Protect is coming up later on during John Bresnan's show, and we are going to learn how we can hold onto our stuff for longer. Isn't this sort of to do with the circular economy? Well, Donna Marie Doherty speaks to Caroline McGuinness Brooks from Foyle Repair Cafe about their monthly pop-up events in Strabane and Derry, and Joanne Butler from the Donegal Community Gardens as they put the wheels in motion to start a repair cafe in Donegal. And we're moving back to repairing stuff, which is good. Washing machines, dishwashers, things like that became unrepairable for a while because you couldn't get parts for them. But thanks to sort of the promotion of a circular economy, we're seeing parts becoming available for them all readily again. If a stranger comes up to your door, why not ask them to stand as you take their photo and car registration number before engaging with them? It's a big old ask that. I know what you're saying. It's probably good advice. I just couldn't see myself doing it. Now, last chance to enter our competition today. This week on the show, thanks to our friends at Fundamania Fairground, which is coming to the Brunswick Movie Bowl in Derry, Londonderry, from the 1st of March till the 17th of March. We're giving you the chance to win incredible family passes for a day of unlimited fun and excitement. We're giving away 2 passes every day this week. And to be in with a chance of winning this fantastic prize today, simply answer this question. What town in Donegal am I talking about? Here are 3 clues. Harvest Fair, Valley's End, Heritage Club.
Text your answer, your name and where you're from, or WhatsApp it to 086 60 25000. Two of you will win family passes for a day of unlimited fun there. So you're going to, if you win or if you go, feel the rush on the Apple roller coaster, spin till you're dizzy on the cups and navigate through the chaos in the bumping cars. That's not all, though. You can dive into a sea of excitement with the Sea Storm. Test your aim at the water gun game and let your taste buds dance with delight with our mouth-watering hot food and sweet treats. Tough for me to read that last bit because I have yet to break my fast. All right, good luck if you're entering. I'll give the lines about 5 minutes and we'll announce two winners before the end of the show. Two family passes, which will be great fun. All-day passes they are as well. Rose on Facebook, great. Greg, great to hear the planning is granted for Donegal Hospice Extension. We all need to get funding now to help get this complete. I've been fundraising for quite a while and they need all our help. Not many families haven't been affected by cancer, unfortunately. Indeed. And it's one of those things. It's unfortunate that either many of us have experience of the hospice, but then again, it's a positive thing through a difficult time, or it might be on the horizon for us. You just never know with these things. Dr. Andrea Redmond is of the Cumann Fór Baoithe na Dúchairí. That's the Dúchairí Development Group Tidy Towns, and is on us on with us now. Good morning, Andrea. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, and it's great to speak to you. Right, now, the Tidy Thank Towns you. Committee is putting out a call to all politicians, whatever the political party they're involved in or none. You're asking them to refrain from sticking up election posters or any material, really, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me.
We are, Greg. And this isn't punitive. This is something that's been going on in the rest of the country since 2019. And in fact, in the last general election, there were over 100 villages and towns, plus, that had requested that political parties not put up political paraphernalia in their local towns and villages. And most of the parties acquiesced, and we believe that now with the county council elections coming, that the numbers were double and triple. And we've done this, as I said, it's not punitive. We appreciate so much what the Glenteagh councillors have done for us in Dúchairí. But we really see this as, you know, posters themselves are not biodegradable, neither are the cable ties. We really feel with the advent of social media, with the likes of yourselves and the newspaper coverage, the posters are irrelevant and maybe a bit of an added expense. And, you know, we think sometimes the age-old way of knocking on the door, shaking the constituents' hands and talking to them about what the issues is perhaps one of the most important things. And we've actually invited the councillors to all the social events that we'll be having. For example, this Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Corkscrew, we're launching a new sculpture. We've invited all the councillors to that, and everybody else is welcome. You know, so Greg, there's a lot of reasons, you know, distraction to motorists, again, litter. Also, there's an issue with tidy towns as it's the competition. A lot of areas found that they lost points because of the displays. And, you know, we're in Tidy Towns, Dúchairí to win and watch the space. And so we're really concerned about kind of the overusage of political posters.
I mean, obviously, you know, we're not here to debate the rights and wrongs of postering, but there are those that feel that, you know, you talk of the Glenteagh councillors, those that are already in the seats, that this kind of gives them advantage. You know, posters have been shown to work for new candidates, new voices, new people on the political scene. Can you allow yourself to have sympathy for them that in this area, that they may be disadvantaged, that, you know, others have had sort of 5 years of exposure and publicity, and it's not really fair to exclude, particularly, I think, for the newer, maybe lesser known candidates to get their face out there?
Well, they're not going to be excluded because we're only asking them in, you know, a short geographic area. So there's lots of other areas, and excuse the dogs in the background.
That's all right.
To put, they're also the use of social media. They're, you know, they're in the newspapers.
I get you.
They spend plenty of money on newspaper articles. 100%. And really, let's stop and think about it. Sometimes the displays are too much. And I always think about topping the poll. You know yourself, somebody will put a poster in a poll. Then the other party will decide. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's over.
Of course, and then you'll get posters that block lines of sight on roadways. And
100%.
There's been fisticuffs at certain junctions almost over the positioning 100%. Of posters. Okay, not in your area, or I'm not mentioning a particular area. So
can I make a point,
Dr. Andrea?
Greg, can I make a point? You can't make a point, political point, with a poster. A poster is a mugshot. The best way for a new candidate to make an impact is come and talk to your constituents. Rap the door, introduce yourself, come to a social occasion. The parties have all been invited to this Saturday. That is the way to meet people on the ground, to meet them in the supermarkets and talk to them. You know, and this is what I'm saying. You can look at a poster. They're lovely, you know, lovely looking individuals. But that doesn't say anything to me about what their stance are on different issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, just for the avoidance of doubt, you talked about it being a small geographical area. What is that area?
Well, basically the village itself, but we start kind of on the Marv. You know, we're a beauty spot. We're an absolutely beautiful area. And we don't want it. Yeah, we are. And we don't want it. Blated is the wrong word, but we don't want an overindulgence of political paraphernalia and posters. So the start of Owen the Marv, the village, you know, going up to Lochbarra, you know, but there's loads of places, the junctions into areas that they could put posters in, and away they go. And we wish them all good luck on the hustings, and we hope for dry weather, and we'd like to see a lot of them in the community, wrapping the doors and having a chat with them.
Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Andrea Redmond there. I wonder what many areas around Donegal follow suit. Just to mention our two winners today of family passes for Fundamania in Derry, and both come from Glenties, such is the randomness of the draw. Both from Glenties. Mary McGrorty in... they're not both from Glenties. The answer was Glenties. Okay. Of course the answer was Glenties. They're from nowhere near Glenties, as it turns out. Mary McGrorty is in Kilmacrenan. Well done to you, Mary. We'll get those out to you. And Mary Shields is in Fannad as well. So Mary Shields, the answer was Glenties. Am I losing the plot finally? Some would say I lost it a long time ago. Just a couple of updates in relation to inquiries we've been making on behalf of listeners or organisations. So we went back to the HSE again looking for a spokesperson on services at St Joseph's. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get a spokesperson, but we got further clarification, because there was some concern amongst GPs as to where physiotherapy might be provided. And we're being told now that physiotherapy will be provided for the patients within the clinical ward area in St. Joseph's Hospital. Patients will still be seen by the physiotherapy team as per normal standard practice, with new referrals being added to the urgent and routine waiting lists as they come into the service. I can't help but feel an awful lot of this could have been avoided with... the situation being properly laid out right from the very beginning. Do you remember we were chatting to the son of a woman who was left in Monaghan? And it was an interesting story in that it's not the first time she's had issues with bus Aaron. But anyway, in a nutshell, she was coming back from Dublin to Donegal for treatment, hospital treatment. This is a woman who was 81, if my memory serves me correctly. The bus stopped at Monaghan and she hopped off the bus for a bathroom break. The bus only stayed for 3 or 4 minutes and left without her. She was abandoned. She was left in Monaghan. Now, we spoke to other people that were on that bus, and they said that the driver said he was tight for time. It was only a 3 or 4 minute stop. Wouldn't let some people off as that 3 or 4 minutes was eaten into. Bibbed the horn before he left. But anyway, one way or other, it's not a satisfactory situation. The bus Aaron says, "We are very sorry to hear of the customer's experience and disappointment and are disappointed to learn that it wasn't up to bus Aaron's usual high standards. We treat all complaints very seriously, and once the complaint came into us, our customer care team responded to this issue in a timely manner. We have highlighted the issue to the driver and all relevant departments and hope to see the customer on board our services again very soon. On this occasion, our driver announced to the passengers on board the service that he was reducing the layover time in Monaghan bus station due to being slightly delayed en route. This practice is carried out at the discretion of our drivers when required to keep the services on schedule." But then what bus Aaron need to do is talk, like, for some people, right, they might not get this bus from Donegal to Dublin
Dublin to Donegal, we're all different, and some people need that time, the 10 to 15 minutes, to go to the bathroom because they've drank too much water, because of a medical condition. To leave it where it's at the discretion of the driver, so it could be 3 or 4 minutes or it could be the 10 or 15 minutes because you get delayed, I'm not really sure. I think Bus Éireann are acknowledging really perhaps a fault in the system. You know, you do need to go to the bathroom. Lots of people need to go to the bathroom, and they're effectively saying that it's up to the driver, really. It can be 2 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be 15 minutes. I'm not really satisfied with that answer. I appreciate Bus Éireann getting back in touch with us, but it doesn't fix the problem that some people, for medical reasons and for not medical reasons, sometimes need to use that 10 minutes that's supposed to be there as a toilet break. Let me see. I'd be grateful if you could possibly highlight something. The road from Trenta to Kilmacrenan is in a terrible state of repair, in particular the road around Teases. There are no warning signs or cones, re the uneven surface, large potholes and flooding. There's going to be an accident on this piece of road. And we had a listener on last week talking about this very stretch of road. I don't have the picture available to for those of you who are watching the show, available on the computer, but I can show you. Look at the state of that road. I'll try and describe it to those who are listening on the radio. It's crap. There you go. You wouldn't drive a 4x4 through it, let alone a car. We're going to make an inquiry in relation to that. The road at the top of Glencar heading towards Trenta is in bad need of repair. Great country, this. We pay road tax for the upkeep of roads, and the council decides to spend our money for bicycle lanes who don't contribute anything. Wonderful. We see the problem is tax, road tax money is kind of, that's kind of the water money, if you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I take your point. Why do farmers on the Coravaddy Glenotty Road not clean up after themselves? Is there a law that would keep this road clean? It's so mucky and horrible to walk on, and the woods are so beautiful, says a listener there. And on it goes. Right, thank you so much to all of you listening to the show today. We really do appreciate it, especially those of you, or not especially, but we extra appreciate those of you who text in. We read all the texts, all the emails. We get to the majority of them on the day. If not, we carry them over. They're all read and all appreciated. Thank you very much. We're back for Wednesday's show tomorrow morning at 9. But for me, Greg Hughes and the team, have a wonderful Tuesday.